and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program of Bible truth. I suppose this could be looked upon as a family-type program, dealing with the Bible from the standpoint of assisting you and your entire family in coming to know more about God's divine and wonderful truth. As we look into the Word of God today, we want to begin a new series, and we're going to go to the first chapter of Philippians, and we're simply going to deal with Christian living. I'd like to say, as we look at this epistle, we realize that this is one of the epistles that was written by the Apostle Paul, this to the church at Philippi in Macedonia. If you're profoundly interested in this teaching, we'd simply suggest that you look at the book of Acts, and as you view the preaching of the gospel over in the city of Philippi in Macedonia, you have the first record in the New Testament of the gospel being preached on the continent of Europe. Paul, on that journey, had traveled over to the city of Troas, and you remember that he had a vision, and he was told to come over into Macedonia, and he determined, along with Silas and others that were with him, that God had called him to preach the gospel there. So they went over to the continent of Europe, into Macedonia, to Philippi. In that 16th chapter of Acts, you recall that's where they met Lydia of Thyatira, and she obeyed the gospel, as we have in the 14th and 15th verses of that momentous 16th chapter of Acts. It was also in this city that the Philippian jailer was converted to Christ. So one thing that should be kept before our mind is that Paul was really put to the test, because in this city, he and Silas were cast in prison. But of course, the wonderful finish was they converted the Philippian jailer, and eventually there emerged from this humble beginning, and from this traumatic beginning, a glorious congregation of saints. One thing about the Philippian epistle that we'll be using for the next 8 weeks as an illustration and a foundation for our remarks is that you'll find no real principle criticism being offered by Paul to this congregation. He was a prisoner, apparently, when he wrote this epistle, and he dealt with that which would help them in Christian living. So I'm going to suggest at the outset of this broadcast that I do not have the answer to all the problems or the questions that may come to your mind, but I do want to say the Bible does. We want you to note, especially as we go through our study in the next 2 months, that we're going to be dealing with those things that can be of benefit to you and your entire family. Now, our first lesson has to deal with the congregation itself at Philippi, and I want to look at the salutation here on the broadcast today. If you're following along, I'm reading from Philippians, the first chapter, verse 1. It simply says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. This is a perfect picture of a congregation that has come to a full-grown, or we might say a mature estate. You see, it was interesting when these apostles went forth to preach the gospel. They carried it into communities, they preached the word, people believed it and obeyed it. They were brought together in what was commonly known as a congregation. And these congregations over the entire world comprised the Lord's body or his church in a general sense. Since these people could not come from all parts of the world every first day of the week to break bread, and since they could not come from all parts of the world every week for the purpose of giving as they were prospered, so we understand there were congregations of the disciples started in various communities. When you look at the New Testament, and you read the epistle to the Romans, and then you think of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you think of Galatians, which was a Roman province where there were a number of congregations, and Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and so on, you're thinking basically of local congregations where we understand the gospel was planted, where people were coming together the first day of every week for the purpose of breaking bread, and where they truly were giving as they were prospered each first day of the week, singing, praying, exhorting one another, and then going forth to live the Christian life. So it's a good place to begin in the local assembly. Now you'll note when you look at the New Testament that you don't have one congregation having control over another congregation. The point is that when the gospel was proclaimed and it was preached, the word was preached and taught in the communities, that there were souls won to Christ. And then there was a program of what I choose to term as indoctrination. The Bible pictures it in a very definite way as confirming the souls of the disciples. A good example of this principle that we're talking about on the broadcast today is found in the 13th and 14th chapters of the book of Acts. Now, if you're wanting to notice the progress from people being baptized into Christ until a congregation came to a place that it had elders and deacons or bishops and deacons. You see, the word elders is just another word for bishops, and the word bishops is just another word for elders. If you want to see the progress of that, look at the 14th chapter of Acts. When you look at verse 21, you'll find that there's a preaching and teaching mentioned there in the various communities where Paul and Barnabas went on that first journey. And then when you get to verse 22, you'll find that they were confirming the souls of the disciples. Now that's that process of teaching or indoctrination, and they were exhorting them to be faithful to the Lord. You see, if one did not remain faithful to the Lord, then we understand the work of the Lord would go to naught. Not alone would that life be shattered, but the lives of others. Because these congregations were groups of disciples as a family circle that came together to worship and went forth to live for the Lord. So they did exhort them to faithfulness. And then in verse 23 of that 14th chapter of Acts, you'll find that there were elders ordained in each of these congregations where Paul had preached and taught the word, confirmed the souls of disciples, and exhorted them to faithfulness. There are qualifications for elders and deacons, and if you're interested in reading about this, read the third chapter of 1 Timothy and also the first chapter of Titus. See, these were evangelists who actually did go forth and preach the word, confirmed the souls of disciples, exhorted them to faithfulness, and did ordain elders in congregations. So the greatest state, we might say governmentally, that a congregation could reach would be to have elders and deacons, or bishops and deacons, whichever the terms might be used. But in that congregation were saints, because every Christian who obeyed the gospel to become a Christian truly became a saint in Christ Jesus. So this chapter poses an interesting circumstance, especially in the light of what we have in the religious world. Now, I'm not trying to be hypercritical on the broadcast today, but if we're going to have Christian living, then we're going to have a Christian standard. We're going to have to realize that the Bible is that criteria, the Bible is that standard. And some of the things that we note in this first verse is there's the absence of a clergy system. You see, in the world today, it's become, well, we might say just a custom for there to be looked upon in congregations as a clergy and laity, but you don't find that in the Bible. You see, you don't find a certain class of people. There were evangelists, there were apostles, but you don't find these people being looked upon as a clergy. I'm led to believe that these congregations did not depend upon a clergy system. They did not depend when they came together upon one individual being ordained by the congregation or being, we might say, purchased by the congregation or employed by the congregation to do its exhorting. We're going to find that these people did this. Well, someone says, how in the world could a church grow? How in the world could a church prosper? Well, this is one of the best examples of that very thing in the New Testament Scripture. So it's become a custom for a clergy and laity. And I feel a lot of times that when people look upon themselves as being a laity, they don't feel that they can understand the Bible. They don't feel a responsibility to study the Bible. They don't feel a responsibility to perform many tasks that might be within their ministry. You see, every Christian has a ministry to perform. Now, what do we have here? Well, we have the saints in Christ Jesus. That's the members of this congregation. The Lord had added them to the church, and then they were identified under the eldership or the bishopship of that local congregation. A good example of this is found in Acts, the 20th chapter, in verse 28, where Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders from that congregation at Ephesus over at the city of Miletus. And he simply told those elders, you take heed to yourself and to all the flock, that's all the congregation, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. So at Philippi, the church had developed itself to the place of where there were elders or bishops appointed, and there were also deacons. Now the bishops or the elders were taking care of the basic spiritual needs of the congregation, overseeing it, leading it, directing it, feeding it is the term it's used in Acts 20 and 28, which means to care for, superintend, oversee. The deacons had a responsibility that was in the physical realm, to assist those who are in need and to lead that work. So what do we have here? We have a congregation of Christians. We have a congregation that's grown to the place of where it has elders, bishops, or deacons, and we're aware of the fact that these men who occupy this position in the spiritual realm and in, we might say, carrying out the meeting the physical needs of life, were able to move forward. We believe this is a New Testament system. You know, you shouldn't be going to the house of the Lord upon the first day of the week with the idea, well, I'm going to go hear the preacher. Now, that's what a lot of people do say. Now, don't misunderstand me. This doesn't convey the idea that there are not evangelists, as there were in the first century and as there were apostles in the first century. We don't have apostles of Jesus Christ today because they must be a witness of the resurrection of Christ. But we do have evangelists. We have brethren who exhort the assembly, who strengthen one another, and that's what Paul and Barnabas did even in congregations that had an eldership or a bishopship. So I do want to say that when we look at this picture, we have a foundation of something. It's very simple, but you see, everybody has a part to play. If you have talent in serving the Lord as a Christian, then utilize that talent. I am reminded of the 25th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus stated that there was one servant who hid his talent, the talent the master gave him, and he was called a wicked and slothful servant, and eventually he lost his soul. So what are we saying on the broadcast that deals with Christian living? We are saying that you have to begin with Christ. We are saying that it is vital and important that we follow the system that Jesus Christ had ordained in the church. See, when he sent that Holy Spirit to the apostles, as Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and 3, the divine power, or the power of the Holy Spirit, provided everything to the apostles that they needed for life and godliness. So here we have the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. He addressed it there to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. I'm wondering, as you think about this circumstance in the broadcast today, if you realize the simplicity of the gospel is that which gives you and gives me an opportunity as Christians to utilize every avenue of service within scriptural bounds that we can supply. There are people who have the ability to exhort the church. There are people who have the ability to direct the singing, to teach the classes, to wait upon the Lord's table, make the exhortation there, to lead singing, and we've already mentioned that, and all the activities of life that take place in that public assembly. And then we go forth as Christians, Paul said in Romans 12 and 1, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable in the Lord. Now, if you visit the Church of Christ, you'll find it to be interesting, and you'll find brethren taking their Bibles and opening their Bibles in the class period and studying from the Bible alone. You'll also find brethren exhorting the assembly. You'll find a program of work that is carried out decently in an order to edify and to strengthen those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have questions about this Christian system, if you have questions about this foundation that leads into public service and also that can be taken into our private lives that will help us to live for the Lord. A young brother said to me recently, you know, when I go to the house of the Lord upon the first day of the week to worship the Lord, he said, I have an opportunity there to speak, to teach, to exhort. I have an opportunity to utilize all the talents God has given me in a public way. And then he said, I can go forth and I can use the talents that he's given me also in a private way to serve him. We believe that this is a foundation of the Christian system that God has given in his word. If you're interested in more material about this, feel free to address a card or letter to the congregation that's sponsoring this broadcast, or you can send it to the station. We'll be glad to deal with any questions you have from the Bible, and we trust it'll be a benefit to you. Keep in mind, your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ invite you to their services. They brought you this broadcast today, and we trust it's been a blessing to you and your entire family. Be with us next week as we continue on with the subject of Christian living.